walk through the garden, you better watch your back. Well, I beg your pardon, walk the straight and narrow track.
That's the theme for the television show The Wire, a show that's no longer on TV, but one that a couple of coworkers are watching with great enthusiasm on DVD. Other friends tell me they're watching Modern Family, a show that apparently picked up a lot of Emmys this year. What are you watching? Is there anything good on TV these days? Or are you watching older shows on DVD? Good morning, I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 8 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Thursday, December the 29th. You know, I'm not watching much of anything on TV these days. I watch news programs and an occasional Top Chef if it's being rerun earlier in the day. I happen to go to bed very early, and I never see any primetime TV in primetime. But I can tape stuff, or I could web stream, or I could rent or buy DVDs of good shows. So I'm wondering, what are the good shows? 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us on Twitter at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest this hour is Linda Holmes. She's writer and editor for NPR's entertainment and pop culture blog, Monkey See. And she joins us from NPR studios in Washington, D.C. Good morning.
Good morning to you.
And Happy New Year to you.
Oh, and Happy New Year.
So I'm just curious, what's the story behind the name of your blog, Monkey See?
That's a great question. We figured out when we were naming the blog that monkeys lie at the exact intersection between research and comedy. And one of the things that we like to do in the blog is be thoughtful, but also try to have a good time. So, you know, monkeys are frequently very helpful in learning, but also very funny. So
very, very, very clever name. I like it. Very catchy. Now, I'm going to start with a really broad question for you. Do you think this is a golden age of television, or is TV a vast wasteland, or is it somewhere in between?
It's always very, very difficult when you're in the middle of a period in culture to try to evaluate it objectively. But I definitely think we're at a very, very strong time in television compared to the rest, certainly, of my lifetime. I don't think television is a vast wasteland, except that there is so much now with the growth of cable channels and things like that, that there certainly is a lot that is absolutely terrible and unwatchable. But it's exactly what you were describing. It takes a little work to sort through and find the things that are worth watching.
Yeah, and we will, I'm sure, hear from some listeners. We may even hear from some of them this morning that they don't watch TV at all, or they don't even own a television. Are they missing out?
You know, I think they are, but everybody, you know, everybody misses out on something. I think that you can't possibly take in all the good movies and all the good books and all the good TV and all the good everything. So everybody misses out on something. There's nothing wrong with making that television if that happens to be what you decide isn't a priority.
Mm-hmm. And there has been recently a revolution in the way we can get our TV. People can go get DVDs, rent them from the library or buy them. There's web streaming, for just two examples. How has all this changed the way we watch television?
Well, certainly there are certain shows. You know, you mentioned The Wire, and The Wire is a good example of a show that I think has been easier for a lot of people to watch on DVD after the fact, when they can watch a bunch of it all at once, than it was to dole it out 1 week at a time. Because with some shows that are heavily serialized, meaning a sort of heavily continuing story that's very, very complicated, there are some shows where if you have to wait a week and you're only getting an hour at a time, it's easy to get lost where you were in the story. And by the time you come back a week later, you feel a little bit disoriented. Lost was the same way. In some ways, Lost was a great show to watch 4 or 5 episodes at a time on DVD rather than 1 week at a time. So I think it has benefited some serialized shows. It has also provided a way for offbeat shows that perhaps don't start out with a huge audience to kind of live forever through DVD and streaming. Arrested Development is a great example of that.
Yeah, tell us, what is The Wire about?
The Wire is a crime drama about cops and drug dealers in Baltimore, in very, very poor parts of Baltimore for the most part. It ran for 5 seasons on HBO, and each season sort of focused on a different institution that was troubled. So there was a season that was about schools, and a season that was about the media, and a season that was, you know, about politics. It's a very, very good but very complicated and involving drama.
Yeah, and now it's based in Baltimore, so now I know why Amanda Magnus, who just returned from her Christmas trip back home to Baltimore, is interested in that. But Rob Ferret, my producer, is also watching that on DVD, and it's funny. I feel so out of it. I hadn't even heard of this particular show, and now you know, two of my coworkers are in love with it after the fact, after it's not on the air anymore.
Right, and a lot of critics when it got to be 2010, and a lot of critics did a lot of best of the decade lists for television. For many of them, The Wire was the best show of the decade. There are some people who think it's one of the best television dramas of all time, which I think it probably is. And nevertheless, it was overlooked for the most part when it came to Emmy Awards and other kinds of awards. So many people weren't necessarily aware of it. As I said, it's on HBO. So if you didn't get HBO, or, you know, it's very catch as catch can in terms of finding what you want to see. So I think your situation is not unusual.
So let's get to some of your suggestions. What are some of your favorite shows of recent years?
Of recent years, I am a big fan of Mad Men, which obviously has been, you know, heavily honored and is much spoken about. Mad Men on AMC is not on right now. It's on a long break between seasons that unfortunately came up as a result of some production problems and some business negotiations. But that is a terrific show. I'm also a big fan of Justified on FX, which is about to come back in January. That's a story about a U.S. Marshal, and he always has a sort of new criminal. Each season has a kind of new criminal that he's chasing, that's also a very, very good show. It's sort of a cross between like a Western and a crime drama, and very, very good. And that's about to come back. I was a huge fan of Friday Night Lights, which just ended this past year after 5 seasons on NBC. Wonderful, wonderful show about a small town in Texas, seen through the lens of high school football, but largely a show about families and the school and the kids at the school.
I remember it was last year a number of people talking about Glee, but now this year they're not so much. Did that go downhill?
Yeah, Glee has suffered some loss of its initial buzz. I think that Glee, when it first started, because it was a musical, because it was exploring a lot of themes about high school that weren't necessarily covered all that often, it was very novel and it was very, very experimental and high energy. Over time, they've had a little trouble sustaining the quality of it. I think it was always uneven. It was uneven from the beginning, but I think the unevenness has gotten a little bit more troubling to people. It's definitely slipped off some lists of good television among critics that I know.
Well, it seems to me a lot of my friends are watching Modern Family, and I think that one picked up a lot of Emmys this year. What do you think of that show?
Modern Family is very good. I think it's, I think it's gotten a little bit more uneven as it got out of its first season or two, which were really, really strong. Very often shows are at their best in their first couple seasons, unfortunately, and some manage to sustain for a very long period of time. But I think Modern Family is still a very, very fine show, and it still does make me laugh. And ABC has a strong Wednesday night lineup, which they're constantly shuffling around, which Modern Family is at the center of. So it's still a very good show.
Well, I'm going to now confess to something that embarrasses me just a little bit, that I used to, from college on, catch over the noon hour because it happened to be convenient for my schedule, and I was hooked, a soap opera called All My Children. Mm-hmm. And I spent years not watching it, but you could go back, you know, a decade later and not miss a whole lot and pick it up again. And this thing was on for 40 years, and it was just canceled this year. It went on, it had its last episode, I think, in September. I was recording that show, and it was my little guilty pleasure. I would have a late lunch and watch it on tape, and now it's not there anymore. And now I'm trying to, you know, now it's like, what am I going to watch when I'm eating my lunch? Mm-hmm. So, but I did want to bring this up because it was, I'm being told that this, the soap opera is a dying genre, and it's going to be replaced by, I don't know, reality or talk shows that are cheaper to produce.
Yeah, I think that is definitely happening now. Whether the ones that remain, including Days of Our Lives, General Hospital, whether the ones that remain will, and there are a couple others too, The Young and the Restless is still on, whether those will eventually go away, I think they will obviously someday, but how soon that will happen, I don't know. But there's definitely a trend toward replacing those sort of big cast dramas, which I think are more expensive to produce, with reality shows, talk shows, things that are a little bit breezier. I think it's a less predictable audience at home during the day.
Mm-hmm.
I think that I think networks are a little less sure of what the makeup of the at-home audience during daytime is. And I don't think that they necessarily feel like that audience sustains those everyday viewing habits as much as it's kind of a people are at home on a particular day, so they might be more likely to pick up a talk show or something like that. So I think as work habits and work schedules and who's inside and outside the home during the day has changed somewhat, viewing habits have changed somewhat, and that's definitely been hard on soaps, which have begun to decline pretty seriously, to the point where I think people do see that as a genre in some peril. Like you, I have spent quite a bit of time watching soaps in my lifetime at various times. So
yeah,
it's sad to me too.
Yeah, now All My Kids or All My Children was supposed to go. There was talk of it going to the internet, which I didn't really follow all that closely. Mm-hmm. Apparently, that was a possibility. I don't know if that's a trend. It turns out that the deal fell through and some of the stars didn't want to do it or whatever. But is that something that we'll see more of? You know, sure. Shows going to the internet?
I think someday you'll see somebody do it successfully, yes. Mm-hmm. I think it's inevitable. There's sort of an inevitable march toward more digital distribution, toward more alternative channels of getting shows to people, and some people will eventually start. I mean, there are already some internet series that bypass television altogether that you just look at online. But that certainly is not a mainstream thing yet. Eventually that will go mainstream, I think. Absolutely. I think it's inevitable. But I don't know how soon. But yeah, that was a really interesting. I was sort of hoping that they would pursue that a little bit farther down the line to see where that would go, because it was a really interesting idea.
Yeah. We are talking with Linda Holmes, writer and editor for NPR's entertainment and pop culture blog, Monkey See, about must-see TV. And we're talking about TV shows that are worth watching, that are past or present. And we welcome your recommendations, too, or your questions. 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Checking the weather forecast for today. A freezing rain advisory is in effect for southeastern Wisconsin until 9 o'clock this morning, so watch out for slippery spots on your morning drive. Otherwise, today, mostly cloudy. Light snow in northern Wisconsin. There is a chance this afternoon in northeast Wisconsin. Freezing rain, snow, or sleet is possible in central and southern Wisconsin this morning. Highs today from the low 30s in the north to the low 40s in the south. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. We're talking about TV shows to see before we die. With DVDs and web streaming and digital recorders, we have more television viewing options than ever before. And we are talking with a guest about some shows that of the past and the present that we might want to catch, and we're welcoming your recommendations too. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Our guest is Linda Holmes. She is a writer and editor for NPR's entertainment and pop culture blog, Monkey See. And Linda, I played the Dick Van Dyke Show theme because one of my other co-workers, my co-worker Cynthia Schuster, who wasn't born until well after that show was off the air. She's maybe 30. I don't even think she is 30. Huge fan of the Dick Van Dyke Show.
That's a great pick.
Yeah. Do you think that this is more common, younger folks latching onto shows from earlier generations?
Well, there certainly is more of a possibility of doing that since, as you say, since the age of the DVD. And, you know, there are always things that are streaming on Netflix or Hulu or some of these services that kind of pop up and people watch a bunch of it. It's nowhere near as old as the Dick Van Dyke Show. But when they began streaming Cheers on Netflix, I know there were a bunch of people who are younger than I am who sort of said, well, I've never really sat around and watched Cheers. And they sat around and watched Cheers and, you know, found that it holds up pretty well. So, yeah, I think that is more common.
Yeah, we have lots of callers, and I'll get to them in a minute. But my director, Bill Martins, just sent me a note that the Dick Van Dyke Show airs weeknights on the MeTV network, which is apparently the Madison ABC affiliate's digital channel. So it's there for us to watch on TV too.
Yep. If you look around on cable, you can find all kinds of stuff that's airing. Some of it is in the middle of the night and things like that. But if you look around and you have a DVR that you can use, you can pick up a tremendous amount of stuff.
Lots of calls. So let's go to the phones. Patty in West Bend is with us. Thanks for waiting, Patty. You're on the air.
Thank you. We live north of West Bend and have a really bad problem with reception. Not willing to pay for cable, we watch Netflix and have really gotten into series like Brothers and Sisters. We just finished watching Saving Grace. And it's nice because on the weekends we can sit and watch four or five episodes of a show and really know what's going on and get into it a lot better than if we tried to watch it during the week on regular TV.
That's interesting. And, you know, I'm so out of it, Patty. Netflix is not just movies, it's TV shows, too.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Ah, so, Linda, does that sound like a trend?
Absolutely. Watching TV shows on Netflix, especially since Netflix used to be just DVDs that they would send you in the mail, but now much of it you can stream online, meaning you can either play it on your computer or if you have the right kind of TV or the right kind of device hooked up to your TV, you can stream Netflix directly to your TV. So for a lot of people, Netflix streaming has been a great way to discover a lot of different TV shows, some of which are sort of older, some of which are newer. It really depends. Friday Night Lights that I mentioned before, for example, when it popped up on Netflix, that was a big relief to a lot of people because they got a chance to see that.
And I think that's interesting. On the weekend, then, yeah, you can catch up with a number of episodes rather than, as you mentioned before, one episode a week, at it, you know, one at a time like that.
Now, self-scheduling is a great thing.
Yeah. And Brothers and Sisters, I do remember that when it was being advertised on television. That's not currently airing anymore, or is it?
It's over. That one ended. But it was that one to me was a little bit uneven. It had better seasons and seasons I didn't like as much. But definitely some very good acting in that. Sally Field was in that, yeah, and some other folks.
Patty, thanks very much for suggesting those. Pat in De Pere is with us. Hello, Pat.
Hi. How are you?
Good. What do you like to watch?
Well, actually, I do the same thing. I've never really watched very much TV, but I've watched a few series on Netflix, not streaming, but in the mail. And two things that I liked a lot was a British show called Foyle's War, which is a reason why I like the Netflix DVDs, because you can get something a little bit different like that. And another thing I loved was something I'd heard about, but only just watched about a month ago, and that was Freaks and Geeks, which is about high school in the 1980, and I was just completely into it, and that it only ran for one season, and it was awesome.
And Linda, why was it awesome?
Oh, Freaks and Geeks is fantastic. One of the best high school shows ever, I think. Freaks and Geeks, it was one of the very early projects from Judd Apatow, who went on and did The 40-Year-Old Virgin, is now a gigantic movie director, and did this show about these bunch of high school kids. It was very thoughtful and funny and warm, and it had all these people who went on to become movie stars. James Franco was in that. Ooh. Seth Rogen was in that. All kinds of people are in that. And it's a wonderful, wonderful show, and I highly recommend it. Foyle's War, I personally haven't seen, but I will say my parents love that show.
Pat, thanks very much for the call. Wasn't there recently a flap with Netflix raising its prices or doing something that made a lot of people mad at it?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, I think there was a whole complex thing that had to do with the relationship between whether you subscribe to both the discs and the streaming or just one or the other. And they raised the price of having both, essentially. It depends on what kind of service you have. For some people, the prices went up, and for others, they didn't. But depending on what you wanted to be subscribed to. But that some of that has kind of died down. But yeah, they're still trying to find the right, I think, business model and price point that's going to last for them.
So we have just a minute before news, but if I can pay to have access online to these various TV shows or movies, that the streaming, or I can have them sent to me in the mail.
Right, or you can be subscribed to both.
I get it. Linda Holmes is our guest. She is writer and editor for NPR's entertainment and pop culture blog, Monkey See, talking with us about must-see TV, and we're wondering if there is a TV show, past or present, that you would recommend to us. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. This is an episode, I guess, of Tell Joy What to Watch on TV. Is there anything good on TV or TV shows on DVD? This is the Ideas Network.
Hello?
Remember that one? The Bob Newhart Show? We are talking about TV shows, old and new, that we love. And we're welcoming your questions and your recommendations. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is 6:36 on this Thursday, December the 29th. So with all of the TV viewing options out there, DVDs, web streaming, digital recorders, what are you watching these days? Is there something currently on TV that you love, or maybe there's a show that's off television that you pick up on DVD? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org or post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. How do you watch TV programs? Do you watch when they are broadcast or on DVD? Do you use a TiVo or similar service, or stream shows online? Are you a subscriber to Netflix? What are you watching these days? We are talking with Linda Holmes, writer and editor for NPR's entertainment and pop culture blog, Monkey See, and welcoming your recommendations, too. So, Linda, any thoughts on the Bob Newhart Show?
You know, I was not a big viewer of the Bob Newhart Show, I have to admit.
No, well, I was going to say Bill Martin's is crushed. That was one of his favorites. I did watch the Mary Tyler Moore Show when back in the 70s. In fact, I loved Mary Tyler Moore so much that it helped inspire me to go into broadcasting. That back at that time, you didn't see a lot of women working in TV or radio or the like. So
absolutely true.
Yeah, let's go to the phones and go to Mike in Madison. Hello, Mike.
Hey, good morning, Joy. You are fantastic.
Well, so are you, Mike. What do you like to watch?
Breaking Bad is hands down 2011's best season finale, and it's been on for about 5 seasons now, I believe.
What made it so good?
Well, you get to see Walt, a science teacher, become an absolute criminal gangster throughout the series, and you know he's not a good guy. He creates and cooks meth, and sells it, and you find yourself rooting for this bad guy throughout the show.
He's a science teacher who makes meth.
Yeah, you've never heard of Breaking Bad. This is the first time.
It is the first time. What about you, Linda?
Oh, Breaking Bad is there's definitely a lot of support for this position that was one of the best series of 2011. It's not a show that I particularly have ever taken to, not because I don't enormously respect it. It's very well acted and written. It's one of those things where everybody, even critics, runs up into a kind of what you personally enjoy watching. As I said, I have enormous respect for it, and it's absolutely true. It's won all kinds of awards. It's a very, very highly regarded show.
Thank you very much, Mike, for turning me on to it. Might want to check that out. Dominic in Milwaukee is with us now. Hi, Dominic.
Hello.
Yes, what do you recommend?
Well, I recommend a show that has been around as of 2013, will be its 50th anniversary, which is Doctor Who.
Oh, yeah. There was an old series and a new series, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah. The new series started, I believe they're on their sixth or seventh season coming up this fall, or this spring. And it is just a wonderful show. And especially with the people that they've been choosing to play the Doctor as of late.
I'm sorry, the people?
Yes, there's different people who play the Doctor. The Doctor is currently on his 11th incarnation.
Oh, I didn't know that. I saw one episode of the new Doctor Who series, and it's because my former co-worker now, Brian Bull, who was the assistant news director here at Wisconsin Public Radio, he has since moved on to a Cleveland public radio station. He was a huge Doctor Who fan, and he entered a contest to make his own Tetris.
TARDIS.
I'm sorry, I couldn't remember what it was.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
How bad I am. TARDIS.
And someone from Wisconsin actually won that.
And that was him. It was Brian. Brian
oh,
won
was
it.
It.
And
okay.
So they brought the world premiere of the the season opener to Madison, and we all watched
that
it.
That is awesome.
And that, I guess, I was just told that TARDIS, that's their time travel machine, right? Yeah, but Brian won that contest, and I saw he made the TARDIS as a ice fishing shanty.
Yes, I remember seeing that. That is so cool.
Yeah, and I did like the one episode that I saw, but I didn't realize that they had different actors or different Doctor Whos. I thought it was just the same guy.
Yeah, it seems like each Doctor gets a couple of seasons. And I'd say a lot of people's favorites is the last Doctor. I mean, a lot of people love the current Doctor, but the last Doctor was played by David Tennant.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if you know who he is, but he's very, very big in Great Britain, as are all of the Doctors. But it's just an excellent series, and like I said, it'll be 50 years in 2013, so I think everybody should check it out.
All right, thank you, Dominic. Linda, any thoughts on Doctor Who or anything like it?
I am not a Doctor Who person, but there is nothing like it. It has people who love it like nothing else has people who love it. And, as you were talking about, it's got this great concept where they turn over the main character every so often so that people are constantly having that character refreshed for them. There's always something new. It manages to be a series that can run sort of indefinitely and always feel both old and new to the people who really love it.
Yeah, and Brian, is one of his prizes for winning this contest was every single episode of Doctor Who in the past 50 years on DVD sets. So
that would be some loot.
Yes. Yeah, we have Mike on Facebook writes, he writes, I love Austin City Limits, Mystery, and most of the Brit sitcoms. A big thumbs up for PBS. Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, Austin City Limits is a performance show. It has a lot of great musicians who come on and do sets that you can watch live performances. That's a fine show. A lot of the Brit sitcoms you can watch. Some are on PBS. You can also see a lot of those streaming on on Hulu or Netflix is another great place to find British sitcoms. But absolutely, that's another great thing about all the streaming services is that you can find a certain amount of international television. And as a matter of fact, Hulu has just launched their Spanish-speaking television arm. So there's now part of Hulu, which is one of the streaming services called Hulu Latino, which has a bunch of Spanish language television. So you can definitely branch out into, you know, British sitcoms or telenovelas or whatever. So absolutely.
And tell us how. So Hulu, if I want to start watching things on Hulu, what does that entail?
Hulu, there is both a free service and a paid service. You can get a kind of you can either use just the basic service or you can upgrade and pay a monthly fee. What is available varies enormously from show to show. Some shows, and that has a combination of old shows and current shows. And the current shows are generally ones from either NBC, ABC, or Fox. It does not have a deal with CBS right now. And not all of those shows are on there, but some are. And with some, you can get the most recent episode. And with some, you can get the most recent 5 episodes. And you just have to see. It depends. Unfortunately, there's no consistency in these services right now. That's sort of one of the problems. You have to investigate what your individual show's situation is.
We are talking about TV shows. Do you watch any TV shows? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. There are so many TV viewing options that we don't have to watch only what the networks give us at the time that they schedule it. So what are you watching and why? Do you have a recommendation of a TV show, present or past, that you think we should check out? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. One more check of the weather. A freezing rain advisory in effect for southeastern Wisconsin until 9 o'clock this morning, so be careful out there. It's going to be a mostly cloudy day today. Light snow in the north. Possibility of snow this afternoon in the northeast. Freezing rain, snow, or sleet possible in central and southeastern Wisconsin this morning. Highs today will be in the low 30s in the north to the low 40s in the south. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.
Take my love, take my land, take me where I cannot stand. I don't care, I'm still free. Take the sky from me.
That's the theme for the TV show Firefly, a short-lived science fiction western, and a show that my producer Rob Ferret recommends we see before we die. We are talking about our favorite TV shows, past or present, and we're welcoming your questions and your suggestions as we talk with Linda Holmes, writer and editor for NPR's entertainment and pop culture blog, Monkey See. So have you know anything about Firefly, Linda?
You know, I did not watch Firefly when it was on, but I will tell you, the Firefly people are like the, and I say this very admiringly, in the good sense, they're the cockroaches of TV fans. When everybody else is gone, there will still be Firefly people arguing for Firefly and arguing for how great it is and how overlooked it was. And I say that with nothing but admiration for their great tenacity. Everybody has things that they are that tenacious about, and the Firefly people are unequaled.
That is funny. I can't wait to tell Rob that. In any case, that does sound interesting, though. A science fiction western.
So, it sure was.
Yeah. We have Adina on Facebook who writes, there is very little on commercial television that makes for family-friendly viewing. Even the sitcoms are too steamy. We watch The Amazing Race and occasionally Survivor, but otherwise wait until sitcoms are in syndication. So is there very little on TV today for family-friendly viewing?
I think there's some truth to that. I think that, you know, for adults, there is some payoff in the fact that sitcoms have gotten somewhat more sophisticated. They are not so oriented around everybody just having a very simple story and then hugging at the end. Mm-hmm. And for adults, you know, that can be a nice thing. There's a little bit more complexity and maybe a little bit more, you know, playing around with themes that at one point maybe sitcoms wouldn't have explored. But at the same time, I agree that it can be difficult to find things that are appropriate for the whole family to watch. I think there's some truth to that. And I think there's getting to be, you know, there certainly is kids' TV. But when you don't want to watch kids' TV, but you don't really necessarily want to watch things that the kids can't watch, it is hard to find that common ground. I kind of agree with that. I think she makes a good call with The Amazing Race. That's an interesting choice of a show for the family. I would agree with that. But other than that kind of thing, when you can find those sort of, I don't know, it's definitely tough.
Yeah. Maybe not for kids, but are there any reality TV shows that you recommend?
Well, you know, you mentioned Top Chef.
And I
think Top Chef is right now probably the strongest one in terms of being consistently interesting and consistently not too focused on making fun of people with personality disorders, which unfortunately is a direction that reality shows can go now and then. So I like Top Chef. I think that's a good one. I like that one. I'm sure that I will forget something, but some of the performance shows are fun. You know, The Voice is fun. It just depends on what you like. I don't know that there are any. Survivor is always interesting. It's just also always kind of troubling.
Yeah.
But it's interesting to me.
I mean, are we going to continue to see Housewives of someplace for a long time?
I assume so. That whole thing is a trend that I don't have much interest in myself at all. I like some of the competitive shows, like I said, Top Chef or Project Runway and Survivor, and the ones that are more like game shows. Those sort of candid, awful, everybody acting up as much as possible. I do think, unfortunately, they're so cheap to make and there are so many people who are eager for that kind of attention that I suspect they're going to be around for a very, very long time. But I do find that increasingly regrettable.
Our next caller is Mark in Oconomowoc. Hi, Mark.
Good morning.
Good morning.
A number of your listeners have mentioned shows on PBS, and one of my favorite shows is also on PBS. It is the Doc Martin series.
What's that about?
It's about a doctor, and I believe he's in Wales. He's a good doctor, but he's got no social skills. I Googled it, and it ran for 8 seasons in the UK and was very popular. It's got a real interesting storyline and real quirky characters.
Great. I'll check that one out. Can you talk about that one or anything else maybe on PBS that we might have overlooked, Linda?
Well, you know, I cannot say anything about that one myself, but once again, another BBC, another UK import with my parents' seal of approval is Doc Martin. In terms of other PBS stuff, they are just about to bring back, we should definitely mention, Downton Abbey, which was very, very popular on Masterpiece for them last year. They're just about to bring back the second season within the next couple of weeks on Masterpiece on PBS, so that will definitely be worth watching as well.
We are talking about TV shows that we don't want to miss, TV shows that we should see even if we miss them the first time around. Maybe now you are watching them on Netflix or DVD or something else. What do you recommend? What are you watching these days? What's good? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org or post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. We have a time for you and a line for you if you'd like to join in as we talk with Linda Holmes, writer and editor for NPR's entertainment and pop culture blog, Monkey See. And Tim in Milwaukee emails, I would suggest listeners check out a CBS series from the 1980s called The White Shadow with Ken Reeves. It's a great show about a racially mixed urban LA high school basketball team, very well written and well acted. Hey, Tim, I remember that one. There's one I've actually heard of, Linda.
Mm-hmm.
Have you not heard of that one?
I certainly have heard of it. Have not watched it, but absolutely, I think that's among the highly regarded broadcast shows of that time.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I just have missed watching TV because I go to bed so early now, and I just haven't gotten into the habit of taping them. I think I will, because there sounds like there is a lot of possibilities out here. But I remember when I was watching TV a lot that there was the water cooler moments, like, you know, everybody was watching the same series at the same time, and then, right, you know, then we talk about it at work the next day. Are there those types of shows anymore?
I think there's less of that than there used to be. There are so many more channels now that audiences overall tend to be a little bit smaller and more niche-like and less broad-based. I think the two things that still get audiences like that sometimes are the big competition reality shows like American Idol and sports broadcasts. I think for scripted shows, it's very tough to get those moments unless you happen to work with people who, you know, watch a show that you really love, like Breaking Bad or Mad Men or something like that. But in terms of things where you can really count on a broad base of people watching the same thing, not as much as there used to be now.
Mm-hmm. Let's take a couple of more calls as time is short. Peter in Milwaukee is with us. Hello, Peter.
Hello. I was actually calling to keep in line with the whole UK show thing, because there are two shows in particular that I simply adore. One of them is Torchwood, which no longer runs. And the other one is Misfits, which is currently playing season 1 and 2 on Hulu.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so can you tell, why do you like those ones so much?
It's the fact that, well, I hate to say this, but most American science fiction shows are just really poorly written. And the British, like, the BBC has an amazing track record when it comes to writing interesting, thoughtful, and very, you get involved with the stories.
Mm-hmm. So we don't write good science fiction, huh? All right. Peter, any comment on that, Linda?
Not a lot. Mm-hmm. Not a lot.
Tony in Franklin is with us now. Hi, Tony.
Hi. I watch PBS almost exclusively, except for sporting events. I just love the programs on it, like Keeping Up Appearances. Lawrence Welk, Masterpiece Theater was mentioned, Doc Martin was mentioned, Frontline, Interchange from Milwaukee. Just goes on and on. It's just great programs.
I'm glad that you like the PBS shows. You just don't find, you've never found anything you liked on the commercial stations, Tony?
I don't think I have. I've listened once in a while, and they seem very thin in quality, I think.
Yeah, but you disagree, Linda, that they're maybe we're not giving a TV or a commercial TV the credit it deserves?
I think that commercial TV, particularly cable, has gotten much, much, much stronger in the last, let's say, 10 to 15 years. But I definitely agree that, you know, public television remains a massively underutilized, for many people, resource and source of great television, drama, comedy, UK imports, as people have been talking about, performance programs. It is a gem. So I don't disagree with that at all.
Leave us in our last minute with a show that you think we ought to catch, or one perhaps that you're looking forward to in 2012.
I'll give you my current favorite comedy on television, which is Parks and Recreation on NBC. It is wonderful. It is warm. It is not dark and angry, as a lot of comedy is right now. It's a lighthearted, lovely NBC show. You can see a lot of it on Hulu and Netflix.
I'm going to check that out, definitely. Thank you, Linda, so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Linda Holmes, writer, editor for NPR's entertainment and pop culture blog, Monkey See. We have connected or linked her blog to the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page and our program notes on WPR.org/joy. Thanks to Rob Ferret, to Bill Martins, and to Amanda Magnus for producing this show. And thank you for all of your great suggestions. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.